Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 35. The Reverend Peter Lang is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew chapter 9. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it," but they went away and spread his fame through all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. In Sunday's gospel from Mark chapter 7, Jesus healed a man in the Gentile region of the Decapolis. In this reading from Matthew, Jesus has recently returned from that same area to the town of Capernaum, his center of operations during his early ministry. Here he had just healed the daughter of a synagogue ruler, as well as a woman who suffered from a chronic discharge of blood. It was as Jesus passed on from there that today's two miracles occurred. Let's take a quick look at a few of the details in these miracles, but even as we do that, let's keep our eyes on the big picture that these miracles teach, as summarized in the final verse of our text. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. We'll come back to that. But first, a little bit about the miracles themselves. The two blind men address Jesus as the Son of David when they cry out, "Have mercy on us." Son of David, a messianic title with all kinds of Old Testament connections that confessed that these two men saw in Jesus the unique attributes of the Messiah, promised especially in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God said he would raise up an offspring from David and establish the throne of his kingdom forever. "I will be to him a father," the Lord said, "and he shall be to me a son." It's a pretty clear indication that these two men had saving faith in Jesus when they cried out to him, saving faith in him as the Son of God. What an irony. Even while they were physically blind, these two men saw with the eyes of faith that Jesus was the Savior. And then Jesus asked them about a different kind of faith. Not faith that he was the promised Messiah, but faith in his authority over diseases and afflictions like blindness. "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were open. There's a whole sermon in itself right there. Notice also that detail that Jesus touched their eyes. He didn't employ that kind of physicality every time he healed someone. In fact, not even most of the time. But here he touched their eyes. Water on the head, the sign of the cross on the forehead and the heart, bread on the tongue and wine on the lips. And then there's the healing of the demon-possessed man who was mute. This time, no physical touch, not even a word. Just when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. Let that sink in for a minute. The connection between the spiritual world and the physical. What do our minds that are steeped in modern medicine make of that? Not that it's always necessarily the case, but to the extent that Satan still prowls around like a roaring lion, even though he has fallen like lightning from heaven, who are we to say that the power of the forces of Satan doesn't extend to attacking our physical lives? Yet the point of this miracle is that Jesus has authority over Satan. And his miracles gave limited but powerful glimpses of that. And even today, ever since the decisive battle with Satan was fought at the cross and empty tomb, Satan does not have free reign over God's elect. And on the last day, God's crushing authority over Satan will be complete and eternal and evident to all. Finally, note the different responses to this miracle of Jesus. The mute man spoke. What do you think he said? The crowds marveled, which is not to say that they necessarily believed. But the Pharisees had the audacity to say that Jesus did this somehow in partnership with the prince of demons, Satan himself. What blasphemy! And if we had the time to unpack the ways that Jesus breaks into our lives today, that is, where he meets us in his holy church, we could also reflect on the different responses to that, all the way from faith and joy to cold unbelief and even blasphemy. The evangelists recorded specific details for each of Jesus' miracles. And each of those details could be a sermon in itself. But as I said earlier, the final verse of our text summarizes the main point of these miracles. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. These two healings and Jesus' miracles in general were of a piece with his teaching and proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, which were also recorded in the chapters leading up to this. His miracles demonstrated that Jesus was the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God, and that because he was very God of very God, he had authority over Satan and sin and all the terrible consequences of sin, including death itself. And of course, that's still true of our Savior today. I'm guessing that none of us here has experienced an immediate healing miracle from Jesus. Maybe not. A miracle like these two blind men or this deaf man experienced. Just as there were thousands upon thousands of believers in Jesus during his earthly lifetime who also experienced no such miracle. But that's not what these miracles were all about. It's pretty certain that these blind men and this deaf man eventually died, succumbing once again for a time to the wages of sin. Yet these miracles point to a day when the Savior, who on the cross defeated Satan and ended his tyranny by paying the full price of sin for all with his most precious blood, will once again reverse the wages of sin and reclaim his own from the grave to an eternal life with him, where there will be no more diseases or afflictions or death. That's what awaits you who have been miraculously and physically marked with the cross, and await that final day in faith, regularly meeting the Savior where he breaks into your life and crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." In that precious name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.